Hopefully everyone out there had a uber-successful Black-Eyed Susan Day on Friday down at Pimlico. This is the Preakness Podcast. Mark Melusis, Brian Monzo, Kenny Peck from the Daily Racing Form with you. As we've been doing here for quite some time throughout the course of the Derby Trail, all the prep races. We did one before the Kentucky Derby and went out 2 weeks from that. And it Saturday is Preakness Saturday down at Old Hilltop. Hi-ho, right? Pimlico. What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
What's up, Moose?
I'm just counting my profits from the Friday card.
Yeah. There you go, Mons. I'm glad you made some money. Unfortunately, Monzo and I, the only thing we walked out of Belmont Park with was a couple hats. That is basically it.
Right. And every time we looked, someone was taking one. So.
Right. Hats and enough money to hit to hit McDonald's on the way home. That was basically it for me.
What's on the dollar menu here? Do we get up his tax included?
We got plenty of races to go through on Saturday's card at Pimlico. I mean, not as sexy of a card as the undercard, and we'll get into the Preakness, and we'll give you our picks for the Preakness Stakes as well, the second jewel of the Triple Crown, which certainly does not have as much buzz around it. For the first time since 1951, the top four finishers in the Kentucky Derby
still a good betting race.
Still a good betting race, but, I mean, that does take a little bit of the buzz. With Maximum Security, the winner of the Derby that was taken down, with Country House out, with Tacitus out, I mean, it does hurt. I mean, you do have the fifth-place finisher. You do have the fifth-place finisher. Well, you have
Improbable
running in the race. But aside from that, it does hurt it, no?
Well, it does. But, you know, you don't necessarily need the top finishers from the Derby to make a good, interesting Preakness race. I think it's a good race. It's a good betting race. The favorite's 5-2 on the line, and I don't think the favorite has to win. From a betting perspective, I don't think it's a bad race at all.
No, and I like these big days where there's 6 or 7 stakes races. It makes the whole day challenging. And look, we had such a thirst for a Triple Crown. We've gotten 2 in 3 years. I'm over it now. Now. I just want, you know, I've seen it. I've lived it. I've lived it twice. I've lost money on those races, you know. So I'm a horse racing fan, and I just like good challenging racing when there's some value out there. So if we don't get a Triple Crown for a couple of years, but we get prices and good betting opportunities,
I'm happy. Betting race. It is a good betting race where I think you could probably make a pretty good chunk of change if the race.
I'm sure
goes
the tracks
want
the Triple
way.
Crown scenario.
Well, and hopefully we get a dry track, which we're expected to get on Saturday too.
Yeah, it's supposed to be nice Saturday, so the weather shouldn't be an issue.
Hey, it was good at Churchill for every race except the Derby.
Yes, that's it. All right, gentlemen, let's start at Pimlico. Race 3, 11:41 Eastern Time is the post. It's the Sir Barton. A mile and a 16th over the main oval down at Pimlico. You have a field of 6 going postward in this one, Kenny. Who do you like?
I like the favorite, King for a Day to 3. But here's the thing. I don't like the close second choice, Top Line Growth. I think that horse is a horse you can beat. His win in his debut was an easy win by 9 lengths, but was loose on a lead in a race lacking pace. The speed in here, I think that's the way to approach this race, is to beat the 4, Top Line Growth. I'm going to key King for a Day as my only A play in a race, and I'm going to use a couple of long shots underneath him.
Mons?
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought the 3 was the horse to beat. I didn't like Top Line Growth. I went back and watched that race. The pedigree is good. The buyer came up pretty good, and I think a regression is pretty obvious. The horse that I'm interested in, though, is the 6, VIP Ticket. And ever since this horse started going, and that's in September, it basically has run every 3 weeks since then. And I like that. I mean, this horse is obviously fit. His buyers are decent, not great, not as good as the favorite. Coming off a bullet workout, is winning some of these races for fun by 2 and 4 lengths. I think it's going to be a little interesting here at a price of 12-1. So, you know, maybe a small little bet on the 6 horse VIP Ticket. And I made him my top pick in this race just for that reason, for the price. I'm going to use the 2, King for a Day for Pletcher, who I think is the obvious choice here, and, you know, lost to a horse, Signalman, who's in the Preakness, so, and Complexity, who's a good horse for Chad Brown, Harvey Wallbanger, who, you know, won a couple stakes races. So King for a Day, obviously, is a very, solid favorite. And I'm going to use the 5, Tone Broke, who for some reason they sent out to Maidon and lost by a combined, 80 lengths. But, you know, a horse that has shown some class in the past and lost the long-range Toddy, so... VIP Ticket, King for a Day, and Tone Broke for me.
Yeah, I went with the 5, Tone Broke on top, trying to beat King for a Day. I understand he's the 7-5 morning line favor for Pletcher, and Velasquez is going to be awfully difficult to beat. But I'll take a small chance in the third race with Tonebroke for Asmussen with his go-rider Santana aboard. I think, it, and obviously Maidan, the two races over in Maidan were an absolute disaster. But if you look at that, showed pretty good form. Monzo mentioned at least one of the horses they went up against, which was Long Range Toddy, who we saw have success out at Oaklawn Park. Monzo had him in one of the prep races out at Oaklawn. And went out there and ran in the Kentucky Derby a couple weeks back. I think he can bounce back if he's right and set and ready to go. And we've seen horses regress coming over at Maidan. I think the tote board will tell the story a little bit, 9-2 on the morning line. If he's cold on the board, I'd be a little hesitant, but I'm going to take a shot with a small shot in the third race with Tonebroke on top. I'm going to go with the 3 underneath, King for a Day. And I'm going to go with the 4. I'm going to go 5-3-4 will be my top 3 selections in race 3, the Sir Barton down at Pimlico.
Nice little stake race to start today.
Yeah, good stake race to start today. All right, let's move on to race 5, right? Is that where we're moving
it
on?
It is
next
race 5.
Yes, correct. Race 5 we're moving on to next, which is the J.W. Murphy, worth $100,000, a mile on the turf. Mons, there is you know, a pretty good field, a deep field in this one. 10 going postward, where do you land?
Yeah, I mean, this was, and we talked about this on some of the Friday races that we went over. I looked through this field, and you can honestly make, in some capacity, a claim for every horse to win this race, which makes it challenging. There's not a ton of speed in this race. Real News has shown some speed. Empire War has shown some speed. So you kind of try to place how the race is going to go. And, you know, I'm not sure how fast it's going to be up front. And I see a horse that may try and dictate some speed that hasn't done in the past. And the horse I ended up landing on was the 4, English B. You know, who can be close, can be far. I like to move the Jose Ortiz for Grand Motion. Lost to a horse named Digital Age at Tampa, who won a stakes race 2 weeks ago in Kentucky. You know, so I'm just kind of looking for some value here. 5-1 for Grand Motion on a pretty good horse. That Spires are pretty good. It's a tough race to handicap and feel really confident. I used the 1 English B. That's my top pick in this race.
All right, I landed with the 5 Real News for Rosario and for Albert Stahl. I do like the stretch out from 5.5 furlongs on the turf to where you're going to see a mile here in the J.W. Murphy. I love the factor, his progeny on the turf as well. I think that's been a successful little angle there. Love his last workout as well, getting ready for this race. 5-1 on the morning line. It is a wide-open race. I just like that combination. The jockey and trainer combination has had some success in the past as well. I landed on the 5 as my top pick, Real News. What about you, Kenny?
It's funny. I liked both of your horses. Both you guys, English B and Real News. Real News, I thought at one point, I said, maybe this horse can maybe control the pace. There's not a lot of speed in a race.
Right.
English B, I thought, was, for reasons Mon said, I think Digital Age is going to prove to be a really nice horse. For some reason, I got off those two, but I could definitely see myself using those horses, and I will use them in pick 4s and 5s. My top pick was War Film, number 6. Comes out of a race at Churchill, the American Turf, and was closing kind of well in that race and did hit the board, but I thought it was moving pretty well, same in his race prior to that. I'm a little worried about the race flow because it's kind of, you know, hard to plot. That's one of the reasons I thought that maybe Real News had a shot to steal the race. But if there's any kind of pace, I think Warfield might be the horse moving best in the lane.
Who do you use underneath Mons?
So I actually thought just using, you know, maybe making a prediction of some kind. You know, I thought maybe Empire War might be a horse that tries to go to the lead and tries to wire them for Pletcher. You know, a horse that lost to Clint Maroon in 40 under, and the last Clint Maroon's a speed horse for Chad Brown. You know, but in the past, this horse has gone to the lead and has made a win. On the turf was on the lead, so maybe this horse may try and wire the field. So, you know, I used him underneath. I'm going to use the 1 English B. The second horse I used was the 1 Shooting the Breeze, another horse, you know, that lost to a Chad Brown horse in Clint Maroon last race. And ever since the switch to John Velasquez, has been a lot better on the turf. Adds the blinkers here. Last race was 5 wide down the stretch. Was very game down the stretch. So I'm using the 1 Shooting the Breeze, and I used Empire of War. So English B, Shooting the Breeze, Empire War, a very open race. And I make these picks because we have to, and we're going to bet it. But, you know, to me, I could have made an excuse for both horses you mentioned. Current's a good horse. Eon's a good horse. So a very wide open field here.
Yeah, it is a wide open race. I underneath my top pick, I got 3 for you. Monzo's pick, English B. Also, I'm throwing in the 2 Current. for Todd Pletcher and for Javier Castellano, getting back to what I think this horse really wants to do. And then I'm going to give you a little bit of a long shot, and it's the 9 tie ball at 15-1 on the morning line. A progeny of Kitten's Joy going on the turf for the first time. Now, you look at it, buyer speed figures have been okay on the dirt, and now trying turf for the first time. I don't know. I mean, Kitten's Joy, you know, I think they're trying to wake him up. Maybe it's a case of they're taking a shot in the barrel. But there must be some reason they're trying to move from dirt to turf in this one. And anytime you throw a Kitten's Joy onto turf, it got an opportunity, especially at long odds. And so I'll see if I can get Ty Bolt into the exotics at 15-1 on the morning line.
Ooh, that's an inspired pick because – no, really, because, I mean, why has this horse not been on a turf yet?
Right. Right. I mean – anybody, you would think at some point in time, Kitten's Joy, that at some point they'd put him on the turf. No?
You would think, yeah. After now, he's started 10 times already, so you know this is a horse that could move up dramatically on the turf, and he's going to be a nice price. My second pick was Eons, a horse I kicked myself for not having last time at Keeneland. I had a trip note on him at Tampa, 2 back, and then he comes back, and last time it adds blinkers and runs a huge race to break his maiden. I was in a bunch of contests that day and didn't use him, so it's one of those horses that, you know, do you want to go to the funeral after not going to the wedding? I think he fits, and I think that last effort is more representative of his ability than it prefers to, because the race 2 back, he definitely had some trouble in there, and that's why I had the note. My third pick was Real News for the reasons that Moose said. If this horse is allowed to control a moderate pace, very good chance he can steal the race.
Make sure to sign up at NairaBets.com. Use promo code Monzo, M-O-N-Z-O. Get $200 new member bonus. Get your $200 new member bonus today at NairaBets.com. That's NYRABets.com, promo code Monzo. And if you've never signed up for NairaBets and played the ponies through NairaBets, they've got bonuses galore this Saturday. First, hit the exact in the Preakness and get a 10% winner's bonus. Secondly, play the late pick 4 at Pimlico and hit split 3 million points. That's $3,000 cash value. So a lot of things going on at Pimlico. Make sure to sign up at NairaBets.com. The only place to play. Let's move on to a little sprint race. Race 6 at Pimlico, which is going to get going right around 1:20 Eastern time on Saturday. It's the Maryland Sprint. 6 furlongs on the main track. Mons, where'd you land?
Another tough one here, and I looked for the speed in the race. And Lewis Fields, a horse that likes to go to the lead. Wentz is another horse that likes to go to the lead. So, you know, I'm going to go at Parade of Nations, maybe not as fast as those two, but a horse that has been on the lead in the past. So I'm looking for someone that's just sitting off the speed. And, you know, the horse I landed on was the one, New York Central, who has shown the ability to sit just off and pounce late. And, you know, coming back, this is the third off the layoff. Ran a really nice buyer in the Commonwealth last month at Keeneland, a 95 with Julian Le Perreux. A horse, a rider that it's not particularly known for sprinting horses, but... you know, this is those good connections of Asmussen and Santana, and you think of those two when it comes to sprints. I think New York Central is an improving colt. I think he's going to get some pace. I think he's going to, you know, work with the race flow, as Kenny would like to say. And I think you need a little bit of a price at 6-1. New York Central, my top pick.
Kenny?
I like New York Central. I picked him second, but, you know, I kind of, and I said I was never going to do this on the podcast anymore, but I conceded the race to the favorite, Lewis Field. You know, his last two buyers were huge, and I think he's... He has a tactical speed to sit a perfect trip, probably behind Wentz. As Mons was saying, the race flow is kind of difficult to plot. But Lewis Field does, to me, look like the best horse in the race. Not very sexy picking a 9-5 shot, but to me, I think the race goes through him.
Yeah, I'm with Kenny. I tried to find someone to beat Lewis Field. If I can get 9-5, I think the race does go through him. You look at the last two buyer speed figures. There was a slight regression from 105 to 100, but you'd expect him to bounce back. He's been working well at 2. I think the 6 furlongs, he's had success at 6 furlongs, winning 6 out of 13 races at the distance, has run on the track before at Pimlico. I landed on the 4 Lewis Field as well. Underneath, I'm using the 7 pro forma with Jose Ortiz hopping on a board on this one. That's a positive jockey change for me. And then I threw in Monzo's New York Central with Santana for Steve Asmussen underneath. So to me, the 3 I went with the 4-7-1 were my 3 in race 6 at Pimlico. Who do you use underneath?
Yeah, I mean, the issue I had with Proformer is the horse goes on a layoff and comes back and they put him on the turf. I just don't know if they know what they're doing with this horse at this point. So,
that's fair.
So that was my concern, especially at a short price at 3-1. New York Central is my topic. Lewis Field is my second pick, and I'm looking for a little bit of a price underneath. So I used the two Fellowship with Tyler Gaffalione. I think he might like coming back to sprinting after routing for a little while. But you know, has raced against the likes of Lewis Field in the past, and Army Mule and O'Dionysus. So some pretty good horses, and I'm not looking for him to win, but I'm looking for maybe 15-20-1. In the third slot, you know, help fill out that trifecta.
Kenny?
Yeah, listen, I'm friends with Keith Fustel, who makes the line for Maryland. I don't think there's any chance we get 9-5 on Lewis Field. I think he's more like 6-5. But I kind of concede the race to him. My second pick was the two New York Central, for some reasons we already mentioned. My third pick was Proforma. You know, again, not a very sexy race. And probably one of those races that we were kind of thinking of when we said we didn't like the Saturday card as much as the Friday card. Because to me, this is almost has to be one of the shorter prices.
All right, let's move on to race 7, which is $100,000 Searching B. 3-year-olds and up. They'll be going, what is that, a mile and an eighth on the turf?
Mile and a half.
Mile and a half on the turf down at Pimlico. Sorry, my glasses are on. 2:07 Eastern time is the post. Mons, where do you land in this one?
So this was a pretty interesting race, and I'm not sure how much value it presented. I was kind of looking for a little bit of a long shot. I do not like Ikki Masho in this race. I'm not sure that, you know, there's going to be he's going to be good, but I had to look elsewhere. I thought 8-5 was way too short for this horse. So I ended up on a horse that I bet in the past, and that's the 2 Homeland Security. First off, the claim for Christophe Clement from Chad Brown, and I like going back to Irad Ortiz, because what Irad Ortiz was able to do with this horse in the past was he was able to he recognized pace. So if there was no pace in the race, he'd keep the horse close and be able to pounce late. He did that in the Zagora. He did that in the River Memoirs, a race that I bet that horse as well. So Homeland Security likes the distance. It's 2-for-2 at the distance. I think it'll be sitting just off the speed. And, you know, the only real speed in the race was the 1 So Innocent, and the 3 O'Sara has shown some speed in the past. But I like the 2 Homeland Security, 9-2, maybe 5-1. I think Ikki Masho is going to get over bet. I'm not even putting Ikki Masho in the trifecta, but Homeland Security is my top pick.
Kenny?
I agree with Mons. Homeland Security is my top pick as well. I think she fits the race flow well, and I think that she's got some room to improve in terms of buyers. I agree about Ikki Masho, who I think is going to be over bet because the buyer figures do stand out. I think we'll be much shorter than 8-5 in here. Last time out, I thought it was kind of set up. And listen, you like when a horse is proven at an odd distance, like a mile and a half. But she is 1-for-6 at a mile and a half. And just so happens that her last race was the race that she won going this distance. But again, she was kind of set up there. And I think as a general principle, as a pace handicapper, you want to bet against those horses who are well set up and win next time out. So this is the kind of horse I think you want to bet against at a short price.
Yeah, I landed on the 3 O'Sare for Jonathan Thomas with Castellano aboard. Second time Javier's going to ride for Jonathan Thomas in this one. A progeny of Medaglia d'Oro. Love the last workout. Getting ready for this one. I think can is versatile enough if you run through the bylines. I know he's had a lot of time off. You look at improving buyer speed figures every time. Has hit the track in all 4 races, 65-76-84-88. And maybe getting a little bit of a horse that gets forgotten about a little bit, certainly has won on the lead and has won off the pace as well. So I like that versatility. I'm going to go with the 5-1 shot, O'Sare on top, the number 3. I'm using the 2 Homeland Security underneath for everything that Kenny and Brian mentioned as well. First time Clement, we Brian and I bet Christophe Clement a lot on the turf courses and
too
turf
much.
Races. Yeah, too much at times. And I'm going to use Ikki Masho underneath as well. So for me, it's 3-2-5 here. Monzo in race 7, who do you use underneath?
Yeah, Homeland Security is the top pick. O'Sare, the 3 horse, who I think is going to be really good off the layoff.
There we go. We box it.
We do. We are going to box that. I typically like horses that run well at Kentucky Downs. That's a tricky track, and that to me, if you win at that track, you know, you obviously have some talent. And I'm going to use the 4 horse Coach Whip, who I think can get a piece late and just, you know, has stayed close in the past, has been a little distant, but gets an aggressive rider with Santana, and I think at a little bit of a price can come, you know, can finish in the money. So Homeland Security, Osair, and Coach Whip for me in the mile and a half searching.
Kenny, who do you use underneath?
Well, we should mention that Osair is a half to Arrogate, so there's obviously a lot of potential there.
Yeah.
My second pick was Violet Blue, number 9, who I thought could kind of be set up and does have tactical speed despite the wide post. And my third pick was the 8, Peach of a Gal. So I was 298 in the 7th.
298 in race 7. All right, gentlemen, let's move on to the next stake race on Pimlico's Saturday Preakness card. And that's the 5 furlong, the very one, worth 100 grand. 5 furlongs on the turf. You got to love these sprint specialists on the turf because anything can really happen. Mons, where do you land in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this race was a little bit of a dud, to be honest with you. There's no one that really stands out to me.
Well, that makes it a good betting race.
No, I know. It makes it a good betting race, but it's tough to pace handicap. It's tough to kind of figure out how the race is going to go, but you have to do it anyway, and that's what we're doing here. So when that's the case, I always go back to the philosophy I like in races like this, and that's somebody that's going to come off the pace. So a horse that I liked second off the layoff here is Dare to Be, the 2 horse, whose, you know, form is good, whose form was good. You know, I'm going to put a line through the last race off the layoff, but previously had been running good on these sprints. You know, the buyers are solid, 79, 75. The workouts have been very solid coming back. You know, has been running in Maryland. I do like that. And 6-1, I thought, was a pretty fair price. There wasn't a lot of speed in this race. There wasn't really any speed, to be honest with you. So I was looking for someone who was closed in the past and, you know, had a little value. So Dare to Be, for me, is my top pick.
Yeah, I landed on the 4, Super Echo, from Pimentel and Michael Trombetta. I love his last race at Laurel. It was 5.5 furlongs on the turf, a 77 buyer. I love the ascent and the buyer speed figures. Second time turf, you look at it, it's been, you know, there's nothing wrong with what she has done on the turf in her 3 efforts. There really isn't. If you go all the way back to the first 2 starts of her career, I think she's going to sit the trip. I like the fact that it is a step up here. I landed at on the 9-2 shot, Super Echo, the number 4. Kenny, where do you land?
I agree with Mons. I'm on Dare to Be. I thought the the last race was something that she needed, and they probably left the rim just to get her a race because she's clearly a turf sprinter.
Yeah, the last 2 were off the turf. Yeah, that's why I put a line through them.
Yeah, she needed to race, so they left her in the race. And I like the workout leading up to this. And in these turf sprints, I do like horses who are proven specialists at the distance, under the conditions. So a proven turf sprint specialist is a horse I would lean towards, and that's – when you get into a stakes race, a lot of times, you know, out of the 10 horses, you might find like 6 of them who kind of qualify there. But this is a horse who might be overlooked a bit in the betting because the last 2 weren't very good. Now back on the turf, her turf sprint buyers are very good, and she does have a little bit of tactical speed. I agree with Mons that the race doesn't really have a clear-cut pace scenario, but there's enough speed to set up a closer. Angel at War is a horse coming off dirt races, but clearly has some speed. Jojo Air has some speed. Moose's Pick, Super Echo, has a little speed. So I think you can probably take a close in here and be confident you get enough pace.
I landed underneath. I'm using your guys' selection, the 2 Dare to Be, underneath as well. And I don't know, just to throw in a long shot because you never know, I threw the 5 in Bath and Tennis, the Irish bred, making the second start here in the States, a sprint specialist over in Europe coming here, certainly, you know, has got the breeding to be able to handle 5 furlongs, 20-1 on the morning line. You know, sometimes crazy things happen in sprint races. So I threw the 5 there into my top 3 as well.
I was on Dare to Be the top pick. My second choice was the 9, Wild About Star. And my third pick was Jojo Air, number 6.
Yeah, and I was on the 2, Dare to Be, the 4, Super Echo, and I did like Wild About Star as well, who I typically like horses that shift from the fairgrounds. I think they always run well when they move around, and, you know, buyers are good, runs in a lot of stakes races. I definitely think can get a piece. This is not one of those races that I'm sitting here throwing hundreds of dollars on a horse. I'm going to get some action.
Unless you're winning.
Unless I'm winning. So
then it'll be 200 on Dare to Be.
Yeah, 200 Dare to Be at 8-1. Lock
right,
it up.
Exactly right.
But I think this race can have some fun with
it. Pay for that Disney trip.
And I think if you are right, If you are right and hit the trifecta, I think you can make a lot of money.
Another Disney trip? Is that what you're going on?
He goes every year.
How many times a year do you go? Did you just go? Oh, okay.
Every summer he goes.
Every summer.
It's enough already.
No, Disney's great.
Take those kids to Del Mar or something, will you?
Let's throw six kids on a plane and fly to Del Mar. You got to win a lot more.
Well, no, you can hop in your transit. Drive across country.
How about Hershey? You could drive to Hershey.
Be like the Hills Have Eyes 3.
Right. God's sakes.
All right, race 10 at Pimlico on Saturday. It's the Gallarette. It's a grade 3, mile and a 16th. On the turf, worth $150K, fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up. Kenny, where'd you land in this one?
You know, when I pick an import like this, like I'm so fancy, number one, it's really more of a reflection on the rest of the field where I can't find something I can kind of latch onto and nothing that really stands out. And you kind of assume, you know, Delacour import is going to have some ability. 7-2 on a line. I'm assuming I'm so fancy is going to be too good for these fillies and mares who really haven't distinguished themselves that much. There's not really anybody in here who stands out. So Fancy's a horse that has a little bit of tactical speed. Actually, a couple times was on the lead in Europe, but gets Lasix, and I'm a big fan of Delacour. I'm hoping that So Fancy's here with some intent. The layoff is a little bit of a concern, but Delacour does really well with horses off the layoff and with fresh faces. So that was my pick. Kind of like throwing my hands up a little bit there.
Mons?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat as Kenny. I didn't pick I'm So Fancy, but you know, nobody in this race really stood out that I was, you know, a lot of horses coming off layoffs or horses that have burned money for me in the past. So, you know, what I did was I went and I looked for the Chad Brown horse with the most value, and that's the 9 Barca, who came over here and didn't run particularly well in the Sands Point, but, you know, it was 4-7 wide, so that, you know, they had some excuses after a couple of good runs in France. You know, a couple bullet workouts, you know, gets the top jock with Irad Ortiz, 6-1. I think it's going to present some value if you know, unless I'm not the only one who thinks that and his horse gets back down. I don't love the other Chad Brown horse in Flexibility, who I've bet before in the past and have lost money on the way. AM's a good horse for Grand Motion, but, you know, again, hasn't won a lot of races lately. Mitchell Road looks like a good horse, you know, but you don't know the quality of the horse going against horses like this, so... You know, I landed on Barca, who I think at 6-1 for Chad Brown, it might be a real steal.
Yeah, and gets his go rider. We're on the same horse for everything that he mentioned. 6-1 on the morning line was a first start in the United States was 3-1 in the Sands Point, a grade 2, over a yielding turf course at Belmont. I think that's a fascinating point when you look at the turf conditions at Belmont that day. Oftentimes you'll see Europeans come east. And cross the pond and come here to the United States because they don't love soft turf. They run better on firmer turf courses. And if you look at her running lines, you know, over in Europe, you know, she's run okay on firm turf and on heavy ground over in Europe. But I think that's an interesting point. So, you know, I don't think there's going to be any rain overnight on Friday. There was a little rain overnight Wednesday into Thursday down at Pimlico, but I think you can excuse that race a little bit. First start in the States now has had a little bit of a rest, has trained accordingly. Brown's putting her in this race for a reason. I think she's a talented French bred and a four-year-old. I'm going to go with the 9 Barca on top at 6-1 on the morning line, and hopefully we can get close to 6-1 in the race.
I'd take Chad Brown 6-1 on the turf any day.
With a Rod Ortiz aboard.
No, I know. It'll be 8-5, let's be honest.
I wrote an editorial that we do in a paper sometimes for a pick 4, and I use them all in here. And that's kind of how I feel about the race. My top pick is I'm So Fancy, but I couldn't talk anybody in here. The race is wide open.
I'm using I'm So Fancy underneath. That's for everything that Kenny mentioned. And for a little bit of a long shot, to add a little spice into the mix, I'm going to throw Dynatail into the mix as well with Luis Saez aboard. I think coming off a very, very nice performance, an allowance victory out at Keeneland during their Keeneland spring meet in mid-April, I'm going to throw Dynatail underneath as well.
Yeah, I threw the 8 Viva Vegas in underneath, who's hit the board 6 out of 9 times at the distance. You know, a horse that, you know, distance is never questioned, keeps running, gets Jose Ortiz, finished 5th to Rimska, 2 back, finished 2nd to Hawksmore, so is lost to some really good horses in the past and, you know, has good buyer speed figures. And I used the 4 Mitchell Road just because it gets Joel Rosario from Mott, your buddy. And I like horses that ship from the fairgrounds. So went out to the fairgrounds and won a stakes race. So beat Bo Recall in the last, who beat us 2 weeks ago. So, yeah. 6-1, some value. It's a wide open race. I'm not certainly against I'm So Fancy. I'm just looking for a little value in a race that I think is going to present that I am against inflexibility. Just a horse that, it's coming off a long layoff and just to me doesn't have that typical Chad Brown explosiveness when they turn for home. And, I've been a victim to this horse in the past. And maybe it'll come back off the layoff a different horse, but you look at the workouts, horse isn't working especially fast. Gets the 3-1 nod, which is a little surprising, but I'm going to throw out the two, but I am Barca, Viva Vegas, and Mitchell Road.
Well, Mons, you kind of glossed over that, but if you are against the favorite here, then it's a race you might want to bet. I mean, inflexibility, if she's out and you don't have to be exactly right, you can kind of play around her. And maybe that's the way you approach the race, is like, all right, flexibility is out and it's a stance you take. So you might want to key the horses that you like Barker, 6-1. I mean, if you get this 5-6-1 and you catch a non-favorite second, you're gonna make money.
Oh no, I'm gonna be in. Trust me.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Monzo. Jay's hopefully is not listening to this podcast.
No, trust me, this is not the one she listens to.
Right, this is the WFAN Naira Betts Preakness podcast. Remember, sign up at NairaBets.com. Use promo code Monzo, M-O-N-Z-O. Get a $200 new member bonus. Get your $200 new member bonus today at NairaBets.com. That's NYRABets.com. Promo code Monzo, M-O-N-Z-O. Mark Malusis, Brian Monzo, Kenny Peck, Daily Racing Form with you. We're going through the Preakness Day card. Down at Hi-Ho Pimlico. We're up to race 11, going through all the stake races as we work our way through Saturday afternoon. And 4:42 Eastern time is the post. 6 furlongs on the main track. It's the Grade 3 Chick Lang. Kenny, who you like?
I'm on two of the favorites here.
Don't sound so excited.
I mean, and we all talked about how we like Friday better than Saturday. And this is why. I mean, when you land on favorites or second choices, you kind of lose a little bit of luster, and Friday's card is one of those races, right or wrong, at least you have an opinion that you can latch on to an 8-10 or 12-1 shot. And again, it doesn't really matter if you're right or wrong. It's a matter of having the strength of your convictions. So when I come into the Saturday card and, I'm on like one favorite or second choice after another, you kind of lose a little bit of steam. I picked Preamble on top. Number 8 was a 5-2 choice based on the buyer edge and the proven ability to rate and come off the pace. Really not very inventive type pick. And Pyron's my second pick, who's probably the second choice in the betting. That one's won 2 straight. The buyers kind of fit. Another horse who's shown that he can either be on a lead or come from just off the pace. I think those two have a bit of an edge. I guess if I'm going to take a stand in a race, I guess we'll be against the 3, Malpays, who is 3-1 second choice in the betting, who I thought was kind of like a horse who benefited from race flow in his last couple. So it's a play to race, I guess, to get any kind of value out of it. I'd probably just punch the 8 and 7, 7 and 8 and leave the 3 out of the exact.
Who do you have in third? I just want to see if we're on the same horses.
Third, I had Gladiator King.
No, not quite. But okay. No, actually, I think Preamble is a really good bet in this race, and I'm hoping that some of the speed horses get bet and you get 5-2. Because,
best bet?
No, my best bet's all coming right up in the Preakness, right. But I think Preamble is going to sit. This is where Florent Giroux is at his best, when he sits just off the pace on the dirt. That's his specialty. He did it with Gunrunner, and he did it with that filly that me and Moose used to like a couple years ago, whose name I'm not thinking of. I'll think of it during a break here, but to me, that's Florent Giroux's specialty.
Oh, the sprinter,
yes.
For Kieran.
Yes.
I forget what her name was. Yes.
Yeah, we'll think of it here.
Yes.
But to me, this race is going to set up with the 3 Malpois and Pyron on the lead. And
look at you, Malpois.
That's what I didn't know. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. What do you say? Who's Malpois?
I guess so.
Malpays.
No, that's what I said, because I'm a dope. Malpois, I don't know how to say that.
Whatever Brett Thomas was saying. Right. He took 12 steps down the aisle. Brad missed it.
No, Brad's all over it.
He's my Brad comrade. I get to see Brad Saturday, so I'm excited.
Look at
you. Oh, nice. You going to hang with him?
I probably
nobody will. Hangs with Brad.
No,
Brad doesn't hang.
Oh, okay.
Forget about Brad hanging. I know Brad very well. If he hangs out with you, you should consider that great. That's a big
deal. He'll be watching the 7th at Ellis Park while I'm trying to bet.
If you're going to hang with him, you're going to be in that basement where he hangs out in Monmouth Park.
Yeah, he was telling me that his office gets flooded now all the time.
Yeah, don't go down there. You might not come out.
So I'm on the 8 Preamble, the 7 Pyron, and I asked you if you were going to take, because I figured you might take a long shot, but I landed on the 9 Confessor in the 3rd slot, who's a horse that is just a grinder and comes off the pace and might get a piece here at 6 furlongs at a price at 15-1. you know, uses the jockey that he's had the most success with, has run at this track. Not run at this track, but has run at this distance. And I think he can get a piece late. The bars aren't brutal, you know, high 70s. So Preamble, Pyron, and Confessor for me.
Yeah, I do like the 8 Preamble, the 5-2 morning line favorite on top. I think he's going to get plenty of pace to run into the 3-year-old Son of Spitestown with Florent Giroux aboard. So I think when Kenny talks about race flow all the time, I think he could sit the Golden Trip as long as Giroux doesn't get him into trouble. Like him, but that he's breaking from post 8 on the outside a little bit as well, keep him in the clear and make that run down the lane at Pimlico. I'm going to use the 6, Gladiator King, underneath as well. I like the cutback in distance going from 7 furlongs to 6 furlongs. Certainly has been a Gulfstream Park, Florida specialist. They're bringing him north up here to Pimlico. First time on the track. Has been successful at the distance, 2-for-2 at the distance. I understand is a speed horse, and I'm hoping that he can withstand a little bit of a speed duel up front, hold on for second. And then I'm going to use Pyron underneath. So to me, it's 6-7-8, but I'm using a little different order. I'm going to go 8-6-7 would be my 3 here in the Chick Lang.
I'm on 8-7-6 in this race. But in all honesty, to be completely honest, I'll probably schedule a basketball practice for the 7th graders at 4:30 on Saturday and be done by 5:30, and I'll probably miss this race.
Oh, really? Okay.
So we'll let you know who wins.
I'm just not excited about it.
Do you follow on your phone?
No, I'll come back and watch it on the old TiVo, as they say.
Oh, you'll watch on replay.
I'll come back on the DVR and watch it, yeah.
Do you do that? Like, you know, I sometimes when I have stuff with the kids, like, I'll go back and watch it, or I'll try and watch it on my phone, but it's hard to watch on the phone without seeing the results of the race.
It is difficult. You have to make a point to try to stay away from results. Definitely stay off Twitter, because there's no way to avoid it.
Yeah, right.
In that regard.
No, my kids become secondary during horse racing season, so.
Nice.
I'll,
Father of the year.
Right. Here's your iPads. Daddy's got to watch
That's
this.
That's it, right. Right.
It's yes, either nap time. You guys want to watch Cars for the 3,000th time?
Nap time or pony time. That's it. We're up to race 12 on Preakness Saturday down at Pimlico. It's the grade 2 Dixie purse, decent purse for 3-year-olds and up as they hit the lawn. We're now being joined here by Mark DiLorenzo. Giddy Up Betts does a great job handicapping. Monzo and myself are big fans. He handicaps the Naira circuits, all the big days as well. Check him out at giddyupbets.com. What's going on, Mark? How you doing, bud?
Giddy up, Booth. How we doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I cannot be happier. Preakness weekend. I love a bunch of long shots. It's that time of year to just print money when you're betting horses. Well, could it be any better?
There you go. You know what, Mark? We got to start hanging out more because my wife looks at it as I'm wasting money, not printing money.
Oh, no, listen, that's why I'm not married. That's why I'm not married, my friend.
He's the smartest guy in the room. Yeah.
I had a girlfriend once that I blocked on Twitter because she saw my Twitter post that I won $12,000 one day when I posted the ticket. And she said, how'd you do that day? And I said, not too good. And then she saw the post, end of that relationship.
Good move.
All right, Mark, the floor is yours. We're up to the Dixie here. 1/16 on the turf. It's worth $250,000. Give us a little feel of where you're going to go.
The return of Catholic Boy.
Yes. Catholic Boy makes his triumphant return. Who do you like in the Dixie?
Catholic Boy's not winning.
No?
No. Catholic Boy, the word on the street, the things that I've read, the things that I've heard, is that this is a race that they're not pointing to. This horse has a ton of talent, is very, very good on the turf, is also pretty good on the dirt, and off of a long layoff, this is a spot that I've heard the connections. The owner, Robert V. LaPenta, is somebody that I kind of know in a way, the Catholic Boy connections. Can the horse win? Sure, it can win on talent alone. But being on the outside in the 12 post and kind of knowing that this is not the race that they've been pointing to, this is more of the race that kind of came up and they want to give this horse a chance, going to lose a ton of ground fully against Catholic Boy in the Dixie. But, hey, if you guys want – don't let me talk you off of a superior talented horse. I'm just fully against, big time against Catholic Boy.
All right, who do you like, Mark?
On top for Giddy Up Betts is going to be number 2, Just Howard.
Give us the reason why.
All right, giddy up. Here we go. Graham motion. Graham motion is one of the best turf distance trainers in the country. Graham motion has a very specific style that I come across every once in a while. And this style is that off of a layoff, if he puts his horse into a nice stakes race and then moves him up into a bigger stakes race, second time out, he's got something underneath him. Last time out, Just Howard ran at Laurel and Henry Clark. Go back and watch the replay. This horse lost to another Graham Motion horse. He did not get a very good trip most of the way around. And then when he was flying home, he got checked and probably would have won the race if he did not get squeezed in between a pack of horses. Watch this replay a bunch of times. I think that this horse probably should have won this race. And for Motion to go from a $100,000 stakes race into this type of caliber race, I've seen this too many times. I hit with this very nice with Ascend on Belmont Stakes Day a few years ago.
Oh, that
I hit
Mark, that killed Monzo and I in every single way when Ascend beat us that day.
Well, you guys weren't Giddy Up Bets members.
No, we were not Giddy Up Bets members. You're right.
So we'll be on top of it.
So does the taking the blinkers off after all this time, that doesn't bother you at all?
So on the bottom of your DRF, you probably will see that this horse taking blinkers off, or this trainer taking blinkers off, is 400. That's false. In non-graded / graded stakes races, when Motion takes the blinkers off of a horse in a quality race like this, he fires at about 16%. And that does not bother me at all. I think this horse is going to be able to relax a little bit more, save a ton of ground. I see a ton of speed in the race. And I'm going to take this price here, 10-1. I don't think it's going to get much lower than that with names like Inspector Lindley in the race that I think I like Inspector Lindley more than I like Catholic Boy. I think Catholic Boy is going to take money in the race. There's a couple other big time names in here of horses that I don't really love. So I'm sitting with my protege, my younger cousin, who I've turned into quite the horse player, and we're sitting here trying to craft tickets for Saturday, and we have a few pick fives and pick fours with this horse single, so I'm very confident, and we'll see what happens.
Who are you going to use underneath, Mark?
Underneath, very good question. Number four, Admission Office, is going to go second time off for Brian Lynch. The horse used to be with Chad Brown, and for anybody to improve a horse off of Chad Brown, I have to take, you know, I kind of have to take another look at, but I don't think this horse is going to win. And just to kind of break it down real quick for you guys, number five, Perrette, Florent Giroux is coming in with an Australian horse here for Jimmy Lawrence. Horses from Australia come to America because you're not allowed to bleed and you're not allowed to use Lasix in Australia. I've seen horses with very dirtied up form in Australia come to the United States and do very well. Kind of interested in using this horse at a big price underneath to see what happens. I'm not in love with number six, the Christoph Clement, have at it, but he has been highly touted. This horse has a decent chance, probably won't use huge underneath. I don't like the eight. I'm not in love with the nine. The 10 I'll let beat me. The nine I'll let beat me. The 10 I'll let beat me, but the main use for me underneath will be Inspector Lindley. So I'll have a single into number two. I'll be playing exotics with 2 and 11 in the first and second hole and try to print some money.
And, Mark, what can you tell everybody? Where can they get you? I know you have the email list. If you want to push that out there, the email list, where they can get you, get on the email list, and what you're doing this weekend.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, you guys, for having me on. And,
absolutely.
You know, for promoting Giddy Up Bets. So just a real quick backstory is that many years ago, I had about 25, 30 people reaching out to me trying to figure out who I liked on big days through calls, texts, emails. And I'm like, you guys need to all figure this out. So I created an email list of 25, 30 people, turned into about 100. and then I created a website, giddyupbets.com, just to make it easier for everyone to sign up. And on usually the weekend, sometimes every day during the week, I will send out thoughts of who I like, what I think is going to happen in specific races. I predominantly look at Naira races in the winter. You know, it shifts around a little bit. But I'm up to about 2,000 subscribers that will get free real-time updates through giddyupbets.com. And I feel it's so valuable because I have so much respect for guys that make picks a couple days out. It's like, you don't know how the track's going to play. You don't know what the weather's going to be. You don't know where the scratches are. Part of the reason that I started GiddyUpBets is that I send out emails early in the day and then throughout the day when things start to change. In the Kentucky Derby, once I saw it rain, I really became a huge fan. And I always had been a fan of War of Will. But I know when it rains at Churchill, the inside becomes better. And I was all over War of Will. Just Luis Saez just wanted to crash into my car. Mm-hmm. So, again, giddyupbets.com is where you can put your email in and you can get free updates on bigger weekends because I put a ton of time into these things. And I found people just sharing my information on the professional level. I charge a couple of bucks on Derby, Preakness, Belmont, Travers weekend, Breeders' Cup. But for this weekend, it's $25. You get a full write-up and real-time live updates on both Friday and Saturday at Pimlico. I'll also throw you some picks at Belmont of horses that I really like. And I just love doing it. I do webinars and webcasts, and I do screen sharing things with people who want to learn more about the sport. But at the same time, I do it for people that, you know, I had a trainer on that's a very highly recognizable name wanted me to know why I liked this horse a couple of weeks ago. So I love doing it, and I really appreciate you guys having me on. And, you know, I've been going to the track since I was about five, and I'm learning every day, but I think I'm pretty good at what I do.
There you go. Mark DiLorenzo, giddyupbets.com. In the grade two Dixie, he's all over the two. Just Howard, 10-1 on the morning line. Hey, Mark, we really appreciate it, man. You do a fantastic job, and thanks for popping on the podcast here for the Preakness.
Guys, thank you so much. You guys have a fantastic Preakness weekend. Print money, giddy up, have a good time.
Giddy Mark, up, Mark, giddy you, Mark. Up.
Giddy up, baby, giddy up.
Thanks, Mark.
Talk to you guys later.
See ya. All right, so we heard DiLorenzo's selections.
Did he talk you on the Just Howard?
He might have. He might have convinced me. He might have convinced you. I'm going with a horse. And Mons knows where I'm going.
I'm on the same horse as you, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like Inspector Lindley. You know, that I like the 11, 7-2 on the morning line for Shug McGahey. I've been a big fan. Has run well at the distance. Has been a traveler. I think the race, I think it hits him right between the eyes. You know, fourth start off of the break. I'm all over the Shug horse with Lascano aboard, who's been a go rider for Shug, especially at times in big races. I like him to win the Grade Two Dixie.
I agree. I'm on Inspected Lindley. My single in a pick four that I created for Daily Racing Form, which you can find at DRF.com. Inspected Lindley, I thought beat a better field last time out. The fact that this is a grade two and that was an unlisted stakes race, notwithstanding. I thought Multiply and Maraud were better horses than what he faces here. I think he gets a very good race flow. There's a couple of speeds to his inside. He's going to be real tough here. I'm expecting him to even take a step forward. He's got triple-digit buyer speed figures in his capabilities, and I think he's going to run to those types of races here with a clean trip and a right setup.
All right, so going through some of the weird things that I go through, just looking at the last couple races, two back after breaking wide, finished three lengths behind Bricks and Mortar. We all know how good Bricks and Mortar
no
is.
No pace in that race either.
What did you say?
No pace in that race.
That was actually Bricks and Mortar's best race, even though his race 2 weeks ago was really good.
Yep.
Bricks and Mortar flying to beat Marketoff, who ran a great race, was awesome. Three back beat Divisadero, who's a grade one winner, and beat Curbon, who just held on for second and almost beat Bricks and Mortar two back. So there's some great running lines here. You know, beating good horses, losing to good horses. So Inspector Lindley's my top pick. The horse I've never bet, and I always like to say I like to cash in on a horse that I've let beat me at the right time. And if you get the right price at 7-2, 3.5-1, and I think it might be even shorter because I do think Catholic Boy will get over bet despite everything Mark was telling us before. I think just the name and his history will get him bet. So if you can get 7-2, 4-1, and Inspector Lindley, I'm going to take it. He did talk me on the Just Howard, who I'm going to throw underneath at a price here at 10-1. And, you know, if what he said is true and Motion has his horses set second time for a stakes race, and if he did it with Ascend, then, you know, that was dumb on us not to bet it. But he's doing it here with Just Howard, so I'm going to throw him underneath. And I liked Admission Office coming in here for Brian Lynch with Rosario on a horse that likes to come off the pace here. So Inspector Lindley, Just Howard, Admission Office for me.
Yeah, I'm going to use Just Howard. How could you not? After the buildup that Mark gave you from giddyupbets.com. I'm also going to use the five Have At It with Jose Ortiz for Christophe Clement. And I'm intrigued by the import from Australia, the four horse at 20-1 on the morning line with Giroux aboard. Mark was dead on correct. Horses usually come over from Australia because they do have bleeding issues. He does get first time Lasix. I think he could outrun his odds at 20-1 on the morning line. So I think reluctantly, you know, if I keel Inspector Lindley, I'm going to throw Catholic Boy in the exacta underneath. But I'm going to try and keep Catholic Boy out of the top two. Kenny?
I like Catholic Boy underneath the same reasons you, because of his back figures and respect for what he's done in the past, but I would try to beat him on top for absolutely. But the horse I was trying to get into the triple at a price was a 9-something awesome, who I thought ran really well in the Charlestown Classic, deceptively well. There's a race that had absolutely very little speed in the race. It was a 1-2 exact. The horses controlled the pace from the start, ran 1-2. Made a nice little middle move there. Obviously, the question is turf. Ran once on the turf, didn't run a bad race, and I think is a horse who will certainly be overlooked in here, and I think that's a horse I'm looking to kind of juice up the triple.
All right, we're through the Dixie here.
The main event time.
And now we're on to the main event, which is the grade one, the Preakness. $1.5 million on the line, a mile and 3/16, a field of 13. Post time is tad over 6:40, tad past 6:40 Eastern time on Saturday night. Kenny, overall though, how good is this field that's going to go postward on Saturday?
I think it's good. I think it's pretty deep. I think there's a lot of different ways to go in here. There's no, you know, we've had Preaknesses in the past that were like just like walkovers essentially. This is a pretty good betting race. I think there's a lot of different ways you can go in here as a handicapper.
All right, no, I agree with you. You know, you don't have an American Pharoah, you don't have a Justify in this, and you're not going to be running in the fog like you were last year. 2 years ago, Moose and I had Classic Empire, who lost the Cloud computing late, which was horrible. I think it's a good field. I like the fact we have 13 horses, not 8 horses. It's a real field. There could be traffic issues. There could be prices coming in. I think it's a good Preakness. I don't think it's better than the Kentucky Derby, but it's certainly not a bad race at all.
Yeah, there's one horse I'm against in here, and if he beats me, he beats me. I don't like Improbable at all. At 5-2 on the morning line. I really don't. And I respect Smith. I respect Baffert. And I understand the buyer speed figures and what he's done in the past. I just don't. I look at him as a three-year-old. I don't necessarily see a three-year-old that's necessarily improving here. And that would be the concern for me. And he's going to get bet. I mean, you know, he might be 2-1 when the gates open because of – and. You know, he had every opportunity to run in the slop of the Kentucky Derby, didn't. They go from Arado Ortiz. You know, this is now the fourth different jock on him, and I know Smith is the go-to jockey for Baffert, but that's one that I'm going to try and beat. If Improbable wins the Preakness on Saturday, I'm ripping up all my tickets. And
so
I kind of like
four is nothing. You're not going to put him in?
No, I'm not. I'm going to try and beat him. I think he's a vulnerable 5-2
like
morning
it.
Line favorite.
Brazen.
Yeah, I do. I think he's a vulnerable 5-2 morning line favorite.
Well, you listen. Not for you guys. You guys know this, but for people listening that don't play horses often, that's a great basis to make a bet. If you don't like the favorite and taking a hard stand against him, then you're going to get value, no matter who you like. And listen, you're not always going to be right, but if you take that approach, all right, I don't like the favorite in this race. And some races, you have to concede to the favorite. But when you come up upon a race like this, high-profile race, a lot of money in the pools, and you don't like the favorite, that's the time to bet. And I don't even know who Moose likes. But, like, it doesn't really matter who you like as long as it's not the favorite. That's the time to get aggressive.
Yeah, and I love a horse in this race, and it's somebody with double-digit odds. I'm all over the two Bourbon War for Mark Hennig and for Arado Ortiz. We saw how successful the Florida trip was in the Kentucky Derby. If he could have earned enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby, they would have sent him. They did not. You look at it, has had success with the break, again, coming back off the break and this kind of a layoff before, and has run very, very well. Ran well at Gulfstream Park. I mean, you look at the Fountain of Youth. If that race was 100 yards longer, he was blown by Code of Honor. It got no pace and no closer got any pace in the Florida Derby. It still was the one that was closing late and ended up finishing fourth. I love Ortiz as a jockey as well. I love him more on the turf than the dirt. And I do think he's going to get a little bit of a pace. They do put blinkers on. I saw Hennig at the post position draw a door. It's not a full blinker. It's more of a cup. They're hoping that, you know, they can get him into the race. I don't mind him breaking from post position two. I don't think he'll be 12-1 when the gates open. I think he'll be more of 8 or 9-1. But I'm looking at a three-year-old son of Tappet that I think wants to run all day. And I don't love the horses coming out of the Kentucky Derby. The one I probably respect the most would be War of Will, who Monzo and I bet a lot when he's running down in Louisiana at the fairgrounds. But I'm all over the two Bourbon War, and I love him on Saturday in the Preakness.
Yeah, I mean, God bless you guys. I'm all over War of Will, and I just think I've watched that Kentucky Derby a bunch of times, and I think had he not get stopped, we were looking at a stretch duel between him and Maximum Security, and maybe he would have won, maybe he wouldn't have, but it would have been something to see, and maybe he didn't love the slop, and he got stopped, and thankfully Gaffleone was able to get him up without, you know, any injury. But, you know, I think this horse is a superstar in the making, if not already, and I think he's going to win this race by multiple lengths. I think he's going to pull away at the top. My concern with Improbable is if I see Smith make that early move in the backstretch, I think I'm going to lose. Because when he does that, he's confident he's got a lot of horse. We've seen him do that with Abel Tasman. We've seen him do that with a lot of horses. We haven't seen him do it with Improbable yet. And if I see Improbable on the backstretch go from fourth to first, I'm going to be fearing that he's gonna win this race quite easily because he knows he's got a lot of horse under him. I like a lot of the horses underneath. Definitely going to use Bourbon War underneath. I'm not sure this race is going to set up for a closer. I like win underneath deep, coming in third or fourth. And another twist of fate to me, could be a now horse coming in late. But to me, War Will, it's going to come down to this horse at the top of the stretch, making that move, pulling up by two or three lengths, kind of like what Classic Empire used to do, and try and hold up anybody that's coming. But again, if I see Improbable make that early move, I'm going to be nervous. But I really think this might be War Will's coming out party. You know, his works were solid before the Kentucky Derby. He ran a great Kentucky Derby despite what happened. Comes out healthy, has been working good, has been looking good. Cassie's very confident. Gaffleone, has rode this horse very well. You heard what John Velasquez had to say about this horse when he was riding Code of Honor, thought the horse was loaded in the Kentucky Derby. I think this is going to be a good one for him. The draw doesn't bother me. I think the cutback and distance will help a little bit. War Will for me, very heavy. Best bet of the day. Love it. Just hope he gets the good trip.
I love the stances you guys are taking. It's really
I'm not against Improbable. I fear Improbable, I think, is what.
Yeah, but you
better.
Love War of Will. I
do love War of Will.
That's fantastic.
I would have loved him in the Derby had he not, you know, drawn the rail.
I disagree with one thing you said, in that I think there's going to be a fast pace here. I think there's enough speed in the race. And that doesn't that helps your horse. That helps War of Will. I think the 6 Market King, the 7 Always Mining, the 9 Bodie Express, 12 Another Twist of Fate are all horses who want to be on the lead. I think it's going
to
set
sometimes,
up.
I'm not trying to cut you off, but sometimes we've seen these races where, like in the Oaks, where we expect a ton of pace,
yes,
and everybody's afraid, so
yes,
they sit back. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a scenario like that.
Well, you can't handicap that way. You got to handicap what you see in front of you on paper. And to me, on paper, there's a lot of speed in the race, and I was very much between War of Will and Bourbon War. I ended up with Bourbon War because I thought I was going to get a better price and because of some of the reasons that Moose said, the no pace in the Florida Derby and then the way he was flying in the Fountain of Youth. I like that he's fresh for this race. I like the way he's training for it, the blinkers and everything else. But I could certainly see myself using War of Will and Bourbon War equally as A horses. So I'm kind of like a hybrid between you two guys. Which...
Yeah, I'm going to be using War of Will as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not throwing War of Will out. But I do like Bourbon War on top, and maybe I'll put a small saver win ticket so Monzo's not celebrating alone as War of Will holds on as Bourbon War is flying down the final 16th of a mile. That would be great.
We're all against Improbable, essentially, for the top spot.
Yeah, I don't like
price.
Improbable.
Yeah, and listen, the last three races had the race flow in his favor, as you can see in the Daily Race Form PPs. The C symbols indicate the race is set up for closers and really had no excuse. Look, if you want to go back, hindsight's 20/20, the Arkansas Derby and the Rebel, you know, neither time did he win at short prices. And last time, you know, he finished 50. He wasn't beaten badly. But again, the race kind of set up for him and is unable to finish the job. At a short price, once again, you know, I could see somebody certainly taking a stand against
him. Yeah, I'm going to use I'm going to use Always Mining because I do disagree with Kenny with one thing he said. I don't know, based on what he did in his last race, I don't know if Always Mining, before that race, I thought it was a need for lead horse.
Yes, but that field was horrible.
No, I know it was horrible, but he did show a little bit of rating ability to where,
yeah,
you know, if he's not gunned to the lead, don't be surprised on Saturday if he's sitting just behind the front runners. I agree with you. I think there's going to be pace on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily – I'm not 100% sure
he's
that Always Mining is going to be
okay,
there. That was the only point that I would make. I would throw Always Mining underneath. I'm going to use him underneath along with War of Will. I like Laughing Fox a little bit. The concern I have about Win-Win-Win is I think he's going to be way too far back. The lack of early speed bothers me. That's why I like Bourbon War so much. I think they're putting blinkers into it because to try and get him into the race a little bit sooner. And I also think the track and the switch from Gulfstream to Pimlico is going to help Bourbon War. But I'm going to throw Laughing Fox in another twist of fate. I think Laughing Fox could maybe stumble up and finish third or fourth and come flying down the lane. If I think Bourbon War is going to get the speed to run into, I think Laughing Fox at 20-1 on the morning line, I think he's going to get a pace to run into as well. And that's what I'm trying to hook up Bourbon War with, is trying to get Improbable out of the triple and trying to hook Bourbon War up with, even if it's War of Will and Laughing Fox, that's going to be a pretty nice triple.
Yeah, you could do a trifecta box, one with two with all, and then have it every way possible. That nowadays with the big pools,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, in the short minimums, 50 cents, you could do a trifecta, and I haven't figured it out, but
one,
it
two,
can't be
all.
That much. Yeah,
nice.
What do you guys think of another twist of fate here?
I'm not a huge fan. I'm really not.
Cross off the first race his career. I mean, he's really been a good runner.
No, he's run well. I mean, and the buyer speed figures are legit. He's run in a couple of grade three events, the Sunland Derby. Ran in the Sunland Derby, ran in the Lexington at Keeneland. I think he's good. Problem I have is, I look at Scat Daddy. I thought he was a little distance limited. I look at Scat Daddy, whether it be Phillies or Colts, I think they're a little bit better on the turf than they are on dirt. But I think another twist of fate, buyer speed figure wise, fits, and I like Jose Ortiz.
The only thing I have against him is the potential race flow. He's outside a couple of speeds, who's inside. He'd have to put away the inside speeds and hold off the closers. Maybe he's good enough. I mean, that Sunland Derby was a really good effort.
It was.
And then last time he didn't run badly at all, so I wouldn't talk you off him. But to me, at 6-1, if that does hold up, that's a bit of an underlay considering the task at hand.
No, it's a good race. I'm excited for it.
Who are you using underneath, Bonds?
War of Will, and then I'm going to use I put Improbable there, but I have Win-Win-Win, another twist of fate, and Bourbon War.
And Kenny, who are you using?
Bourbon War on top, War of Will second, Improbable third, and I think I had Always Mining fourth. I had to do the top four.
All right. I'm using here, I love Bourbon War. I'm gonna hook an Inspector Lindley Bourbon War double.
Oh, that's a good idea. Really good idea. We got pick fours going too.
Yeah, that's it.
Listen, if you do pick fours, those could be if you can get alive through the first two legs and hopefully catch a price and single, man, that's a tremendous ticket.
You're right.
And you're not on a favorite in this leg at all with Bourbon War, so you could be sitting on something really nice there.
Yeah, that's and hopefully, I mean, hopefully we have. It would be great if it's Bourbon War, War of Will, last eighth of a mile, head-to-head to the finish line at Pimlico.
Well, that's the kind of thing. If you are playing pick fours, Bourbon War, you might want to have multiple times, but you want to have coverage with other horses like War of Will. You don't want to just stand alone like, some kind of cowboy. You want to have, some other coverage, but press Bourbon War as your top pick.
Yeah, there you go. Remember, sign up at NyraBets.com. If you're a new member, use promo code Monzo, M-O-N-Z-O, M-O-N-Z-O. Make sure you do it. Preakness Saturday. There's a lot to get to. You use that promo code, you get 200 when you bet 200. Sign up at NyraBets.com. That's NYRABets.com. Promo code Monzo, M-O-N-Z-O.
We've got a good chunk of signups, so we appreciate that.
That's it. And you can earn bonuses galore on Saturday. Hit the exact in the Preakness and get a 10% winner's bonus. Secondly, play the late pick four at Pimlico and hit split a 3 million points. That's $3,000 cash value. Sign up at NyraBets.com, promo code Monzo, M-O-N-Z-O, bet 200, get 200. So there you have it. Preakness Day is in the books. Bourbon War for Kenny and myself. War of Will for Monzo. Monzo, your best bet of the day, because everyone looks forward to your best bet.
My best bet of the day.
Who are you putting the most chunk of change on Saturday?
War of Will, for sure.
Wow.
But to get to War of Will.
To get to War of Will, no, I'm going to bet big on Barca.
Barca. There you go.
Barca. Like at six. If you get 6-1, Chad Irad on the turf.
That's a good bet. I don't know if you'll get 6-1, but yes.
I don't either. But you'll be at Monmouth?
I will be at Monmouth. I will be at Monmouth Park. I will be tweeting up picks from Pimlico, Belmont, and Monmouth. Fantastic. Taking Tom Cassidy's picks.
My wife's got family in town. I can't meet up with Monzo.
Yeah, Moose will be asking me who won the races.
My wife hit me up this afternoon. So she's like, her family's in town from Toronto. Her dad's big birthday weekend, right? They're having a celebration.
Oh, by the way, tomorrow's Moose's birthday.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Friday.
48.
Yeah, Friday.
I'm
not 48. He's nowhere near 48.
If we weren't on a podcast, I'd say something. I can't say what I want to say to you.
Like 38.
I'm not 48, dude. I'm 43 years old. I'm 42 right now, and today, as we're recording this podcast.
Hang on to every moment at 42.
I'm 43. I'm 43.
I was associating Moose's birthday with the Preakness.
No, but so Donna today drops the word on me, right? I'm getting ready to drive down this podcast, sit in 2.5 hours of traffic to go talk some ponies with you guys, and Donna's like, oh, we might be having a get-together on Saturday from 3 to 5. I go, listen, I'm skipping that.
Nice.
I can't.
Right. I'll FaceTime.
I'm looking forward to this day. Like, there are three big days. Well, there's four. Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday. Five. Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday. Belmont, which I'm at Belmont. Derby and Preakness. Those are the five big days of the year.
It's amazing how they plant these events right in the middle. Nobody consults the racing calendar.
No, I know.
Amazing.
It's annoying. All right. So, Monzo, there you go. Good luck. Make sure to hit us all up on Twitter as well over the course of the next couple days, Friday and Saturday. And everyone, thanks for listening to the Naira Betts WFAN Preakness podcast, and good luck on Saturday.
No free hats this weekend.